Okay.
Recording on JewsOnCats.com. Sanhedrin, Kaf Daled Amud Aleph. We are going to go back to the Mishnah on Kaf Daled Amud Aleph, just to
24a.
To base ourselves. Yeah, 24a3 in the Arch Scroll. Mishnah. Let's just review the Mishnah to see where we are. Our Mishnah said like this: two laws. Amar lo, if he said to him, if one litigant said to the other, Ne'eman alai abba, your father or my father is acceptable to me. Ne'eman alai avicha, sorry, that was my father. Ne'eman alai abba, ne'eman alai avicha. If my father or your father, either one, is acceptable to act as a judge. Ne'amin alai shoshavra evaka, or three cattle herders, they're also acceptable to me. Be judges. Rabbi Meir Omer, Yachol Latzurba. Rabbi Meir says you can go back and change your mind. I accepted it at the beginning, but halfway through the case I decided I didn't want it. I'm allowed to go back. Chachamim Omerim Eino Yachol Latzurba. As I'm saying no. Once you've agreed it, has the force of a binding contract, you agreed it, you can't go back on it. Top. That's rule number one. Rule number two. Hayachayam Lachaveh Roshvua. If he was obligated to his friends, one litigant was obligated to the other to swear an oath, meaning the court obligated him to swear an oath. Court obligated one of the litigants. We explained that biblically, deraita, only the defendant can be obligated, deraita, to swear an oath. But rabbinically, the court can also decide that the claimant has to swear an oath. That's a rabbinic oath. So we're not sure at this point in the Mishnah, just as an oath, which one we're dealing with. The Gemara is going to ask that question later. But currently, if one of them has to swear an oath, Ramallah, and he said to him, one litigant said to the other, Doli b'chayei roshecha, swear to me by the life of your head. I'm going to release you from your obligation to swear a proper oath, and I'm going to allow you to make a lesser form of oath, just swear on your own life, and that's good enough for me. Rabbi Meir Omer Yachol Asoba. Rabbi Meir said you can change his mind. He got the guy to swear an oath, not a full one. He decided actually, no, I want the full one now. Rabbi Meir says, yeah, that's fine, you can go back on your agreement. Once you've decided, you cannot go back on it. Tom, that's the mission.
A quick question on that.
Yeah.
So it's going up to a higher level of squaring the oath. What about?
No, that's the lower. He's offering a lower version.
Right. And the person rejects that.
Right. So you can go back up to the one which the court had previously obligated him to give.
Can he do the reverse? Then we simply say, I don't swear at all.
No, if the court says to one of the litigants, you're obligated now to swear an oath, and he doesn't, then he loses the case.
But isn't this one litigant asking the other litigant to swear an oath?
But only in a case where he was already obligated. Because here we're saying, if he was obligated on a higher level and he accepted a lower level. The same case as the first. He was obligated to have three valid judges and he accepted a lower level, he accepted three cattle herders. Can you go back up to the higher one? Otherwise there's nothing to go to. If there was no other, let's say for example, there was no obligation to swear an oath. And in the middle of the case, I don't know what scenario it would be. One litigant said to the other, swear me an oath, and he changed his mind. I mean, it doesn't, there's no reason for that scenario to occur.
I mean, why would one litigant have the other litigant swear? I mean, I can understand the court doing it.
No, he's allowing him a lesser oath. The court says you need to swear now a full oath take a sefer Torah, use the name of Hashem, and swear on your life that you never paid it back. Right? And the guy, you know, and I know, I don't think I did. I'm really sure I didn't, but I don't want to swear an oath on a sefer Torah. Who knows what I was at 3 years ago? Did I pay him back? I'm not sure. Right? I don't want. So the other guy says, don't worry. You don't have to swear an oath on the sefer Torah. Just swear on your own life. Right? That's good enough for me. So he gives him a chance to have a. He lets him off the hook. He can go back and change his mind and say, actually, you know what? This is a lot of money involved. I actually want the full oath. And if you can't swear the full oath, then fine, you're going to have to pay me.
Okay, so he's going from a linear to a stricter.
Yeah, if he removes his leniency, then yeah, it goes back to the normal position. The normal position was that he had to swear the strict oath. The court demanded he swear a strict oath. The litigant is the one that let him off the hook and brought it down to a more lenient level. And then the litigant removes that agreement and goes back to where it was.
So he doesn't have to accept the lenient oath. He can always go by the strict oath if he wants.
The litigant. Yeah, the litigant can do what he wants. Doesn't have to accept a leniency.
Okay.
Yeah, the guy can say to him, you know what, you don't have to swear on the Torah, it's fine with me. And he can say, no, trust me, I want to swear on the Torah, I'm 100% clear, I know what I'm doing here, it's fine with me. Okay, yeah, it's consistent with that. Okay?
Okay.
Yofi. Gemara. Marab Dimi Bered, the Rav Nachman, Bered, the Rav Yosef. Rav Dimi, the son of Rav Nachman, the son of Rav Yosef. Said like this. What are we talking about? What's the scenario? Kugon v'kablei aleha b'chad. So Rav Dimi here is clarifying that when we agreed to allow your father or my father to be one of the judges, we were talking about where he's just one of the judges, b'chad. He doesn't replace all three of them. I'm not talking about the case, Rav Dimi says, where we allow the father to be in place of all three. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about he's just replacing one. He's still got two valid judges. So if we explained a little bit why Rav Dimi said that. He looked at it and said it can't be the case where he's replacing all three, because that wouldn't be the ruling of the Mishnah. It was. Good morning, Rav Gedalia.
Good morning.
Yofi. Tov. Next. Tov. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Machoket v'machol lecha, aval be'eten lecha, divrei hakol yechol lachzor. So next rule, next clarification of our Mishnah from Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Shmuel. Said we're talking about a case of machol lecha, and we're not talking about a case of eten lecha. What's the difference between machol lecha and eten lecha? Which one? Yeah, if it goes my way, you're going to have to pay me. Right. The court decision is the ruling of the court. If they rule in my favor, you're going to have to give me the money. That's the case of a ten lacha. So we said the difference in the case of a ten lacha is that because there is money transferring, we need to have a valid, at least one shita says, we need to have a valid court, divrei hakol, according to Rav Yehuda, divrei hakol, yachol lasobo. He can go back and change his mind. Why? Because if he doesn't agree, then you can't transfer money without the court, without a court of three valid judges. You can't take money from one party and give it to the other. You can only do that either by agreement or with a valid court. So if the guy changes his mind, then there's no agreement according to this shita. So you need a valid court in order to transfer the money from A to B. That's the case of a ten lacha. In the case of machul lacha, there's no money moving. So the court decision to forgive the debt is binding. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda said, so what we're talking about the machloket here must be a case of machulacha, because in the case of a tenlacha, they would both agree. Rabbi Meir and Hachamim would both agree, divrei hakol yachol lachzor bo. Everybody would agree, you can go back. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, ve'etein lacha machloket. Rabbi Yochanan says, the case is... The case that takes a different view than Rav Shmuel, than Rav Yehuda and the name of Shmuel, right? Takes a different view. It says the machloket between Rabbi Meir and Hachamim is in the case of Eten Lacha, and not in the case of Machulah. Gemara is going to say, well, what does he hold? Does he hold Eten Lacha as well, or instead of? Right, like we said last time. Rabbi Yehuda said the machloket is in the case of machulacha. Rabbi Yochanan now says, no, eten lacha. Is Rabbi Yochanan saying also eten lacha, or instead of machulacha, say it's eten lacha? You with me? You with the two options? How do we understand Rabbi Yochanan? Is Rabbi Yochanan agreeing with Shmuel, saying, I also think it's machulacha, but it's also a ten lacha? Or is he saying, no, it's only a ten lacha? That's what they're arguing about now. We're going to see now in the Gemara that they argue about it. Okay? Ibailahu, they asked, they ten lacha machloket. Right? They ten lacha, when Rabbi Yochanan said, a ten lacha machloket, about the machulacha divrei hakol ein yachol lazobo. But regarding machulacha, everybody agrees that you can't go back on it. Is that what Rabbi Yochanan is trying to say? That there's no dispute in machulacha, and there is only a dispute in eten lacha? Or dilma, or maybe bein bazu ubein bazu machloket. In both cases of machulacha and the case of eten lacha, there's machloket. That's what Rabbi Yochanan is coming to tell you. Right, which one is it? Tashma, come and learn the answer to which one it is. Now, my Rabba said, Machloket be'eten lacha. Machol lacha divrei hakol ein yachol lachzor bo. Rabba says, it's like this. There's a machloket in eten lacha, but in machol lacha, everybody agrees that you can't go back. Now, that's what Rabbi says. Gemara suggests, as a result, Iyamarat b'shloma b'etein lacha machloket. If you say it's fine, but in the case of etein lacha, there's a machloket, aval b'machul lacha divrei hakol ein yachzor lo bo. And in the case of machul lacha, everyone agrees. If you say that Rabbi Yochanan also holds, like Rabbi, that in the case of Eten Lacha, there's a machloket, but in the case of Machul Lacha, everybody agrees. Rabba Damar, Rabbi Yochanan, then Rabba is just the same as Rabbi Yochanan, and that wouldn't be the case. We wouldn't have Rabba saying something exactly the same as Rabbi Yochanan. Ella, Yamata, Bein Bazu, Bein Bazu, Machloket. But if you want to say Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold like Rabba, Rabba doesn't hold like Rabbi Yochanan, and actually, Bein Bazu or Bein Bazu, both in the case of Eten Lacha and in the case of Machol Lacha, there really is a machloket according to Rabbi Yochanan. Then we're left with the problem. Rabba da Amar Kaman, who is Rabba going by? Answer, Rabba Tamar da Nafshe Kamar. Rabba is following his own opinion. Rabba is not going by anyone. Rabba is not. You can say that Rabbi is not going by Rabbi Yochanan, he's not going by Rabbi Yehuda. He's a third opinion. So we have now three opinions. We have Rabbi Yehuda, who says it's a machloket only in Machul Lacha. We have Rabbi Yochanan, who says it's a machloket only in Eten Lacha. Nope. Say that again. We have Rava who says it's a mafloket only in a tenacha, and Rabbi Yochanan holds it's a mafloket in both. Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah, sorry. Rabbi Yochanan who holds it's a mafloket in both.
Only
in Machulachat, Rabbi Yochanan.
Yeah, and Rava?
Rava is only in a ten, but not in Machul. My Rava. Tashma, the bottom of the first column. Okay. Good, so each one has a different opinion, right? Three possible opinions, and they all hold one. Yofi. Next part of the Gemara. Eitve Rav Acha bar Tachlifa l'Rava. Rav Acha bar Tachlifa, he challenged Rava. Right? Remember, what did Rava say? Rava's opinion is the machloket is where? Go to Rava? Only a Tenlacha, and not Machulacha. According to Machulacha, everybody agrees. Everybody agrees what? Machulacha? What? Sorry. No. What does Rava say about Machulacha? Rava says everybody agrees in Machulacha, but what does everybody agree? But you can't go back. You can't go back. No, not like Rabbi Meir.
And that's because
Rabbi Meir and Hachamim agree. Everybody agrees, meaning that Rabbi Meir and Hachamim agree in that case. There's no machloket, right? Machloket, they both agree. Where is the machloket? Machloket is only in the case of Eten Lacha, and that's where you have the machloket between Rabbi Meir and Hachamim, where Rabbi Meir says, you can't cause it, and Hachamim, no, the other way around. Rabbi Meir says you can go back, and Hachamim say you can't.
Because of Tamil Hadith, there's no money exchange.
No, in Machul Lacha, that. No, you're not right. Machul Lacha, they all agree. In Aten Lacha, they disagree. Rabbi Meir says you can go back, and Hachamim say you can't. Because they have two different opinions. Rabbi Meir says money's transferring over, therefore you can go back to the full court. Hachamim say no, the fact that you made agreement is strong enough. The money can transfer on the basis of the agreement that you made to keep it. You can't, and that's enough to transfer them.
But if there's no money transferring,
then they both agree that you can retract.
You can retract.
You can't retract, sorry about that.
You can or cannot.
You cannot retract.
You cannot retract.
Right, because you don't, there's no reason to have a three-member court if there's no transfer taking place. So no one can insist on a valid court. There's no money transfer. So they both agree you cannot retract.
But were we talking a while back about Kenyan?
Yes.
Namely, a valid being a valid agreement.
Yeah.
And wouldn't that be part of the opinion?
That would be yes. So according to Chachamim, we say that you cannot retract. So they say because you made a valid opinion, you agreed that the money was going to transfer according to this court case, even if it was a Duff court case. You agreed it. That's a valid opinion.
Right.
That's your. Okay, Tom. So now we're challenging Rava. Rav Acha bar Tachlifa is challenging Rava. How is he challenging him? Like this. He's challenging him from the second half of the Mishnah. Hayah chayav l'chaveiro shvua. The second half of the Mishnah said, if he was obligated to swear an oath, then amar lo dor li b'chaveiro shecha. And he said, you know what? I accept the lesser form of oath. Right? Just swear on your own life and that will be fine. Right, that's a Mishnah. Mishnah says in that case, Rabbi Meir holds, you can go back. And Hachamim say you don't. So clearly over here, before we even move on, we can see that it's not based solely anyway on the question of needing a three-man court to transfer money. Because here we're not talking about transferring money, here we're talking about an oath. So it must be, before we even look further, it must be that their Sarah, their reasoning is not like we said. It's not completely like we said. If their reasoning was based purely on the fact that money was transferring across, and that was the reason why one side said you can retract, and the other side said you can't. But here, in the second case of the Mishnah, there's not a question of money transferring across. It's a question of an oath. So let's see.
So what do you need for an oath?
Let's have a question.
Someone's making an oath.
Yeah.
Do you need witnesses? Do you need judges? What do you need for an oath?
The court says you need to swear an oath. You have to swear an oath.
Okay, so do you need a valid court? Do you need valid witnesses that you have?
So we're gonna see what the argument's based on now.
You said okay. I paid the money.
Huh?
I paid the money.
Yeah.
You said no, you don't pay it. You said I paid it. I made that.
Right. Okay. So let's see. So the Gemara asked as follows, right? Remember, this is a challenge on Rava. My love, ba'otan hanishvaim v'lo mishalmin. Tahave leik machul lacha. Yo. So what are we saying now? So let's go back to our earlier question that I raised when we were looking at the Mishnah. Said, in the case of an oath, there's two types of oath. One's a derita oath, and one's the rabbinic oath. The derita oath is only sworn by the defendant who is trying to get out of paying. Derita. The Torah gives us the rule, the law. The law is found in the Torah. That's why it's derita. For someone to swear an oath that they don't owe money. Or are we talking about a rabbinic oath where the claimant swears that he hasn't yet been paid back? So the Gemara says, could be that what we're talking about in the Mishnah.
What's making the oath?
Yeah.
I said, I pay. And then I said, not pay.
So the judges decide who needs to make an oath. There's only one oath.
Ah, you can of course.
Yeah, and when if the person makes the oath, he wins, and if the person doesn't make the oath, he loses.
The same, you make both. So do the white win?
No, there's no both. There's no both. The court decide. The court have the case in front of them. If the two witnesses that are valid witnesses, kosher witnesses with good testimony, that's it. The court decide, got two valid witnesses over here, done, finished. No oaths, no nothing. No oaths in the case of witnesses. But if there's no witnesses, or the witnesses I have are no good and I don't trust them, right, the court doesn't believe them. So how does the court decide? So then the court is going to decide on the basis of an oath. So in that case, the court decides, who are we going to make swear here? Are we going to make the defendant swear, or are we going to make him swear? Because who wants to win? Because otherwise, we've got nobody's winning. Right, we don't know. We haven't got evidence. I can't say who's lying. I know I've got two guys. One says he pays me. I haven't paid him. I don't know. So at this point,
do they have a story document?
No, nothing. If I had any evidence, I wouldn't need the oath. The oath is I've got no evidence. So how am I going to decide this case? I can also either say, you know what, guys? Sorry, we hear both of you. You sound good. You sound good. Or probably you sound bad and you sound bad. I don't really need that. Right? I can't make a decision here. So they leave the court without a decision. So we go, no. Because I'm going to make one of you swear an oath. If you swear the oath, you win. I swear that I was never paid back. 100%. Fine. Or you swear that you paid it back. But the court decides what you won, and after that oath, it's finished. Okay. So now the Gemara says, so which one are we talking about? Maybe we can understand the law of the Mishnah depending on which type of oath was being made. Just like we said at the beginning of the Mishnah actually, the dispute, we said like this before, that often the Gemara wants to say that the dispute between two Tanayim, between Hachamim and Rabbi Meir, is actually very narrow. It's not all cases, right? It's just in certain cases. So that's why we said before, it's only in the case of Eten Lecha, but not in the Chul Lecha. That's where they had the dispute. But in the other case, they all agree. And we want them all to agree. So here we're saying two. Maybe in the, even in the second case, where we've got a dispute between Rabbi Meir, who says that if you agree a lower oath, you can retract in it. And they disagree, and Hachamim say, no, you can't. And they've got a machloket on that. What's a machloket? It's only in the case, it's a narrow case, it's not all times. So only in the case of one type of oath. But in the case of the other type of oath, they all agree. Right, so we want to see...
But which is which?
That's what we're going to see now. So that's the framework that the Gemara is trying to deal with and say, it's only in one of these types of cases that there's a disagreement. We're trying to narrow down the situation where there's a machloket. Most cases, they're all happy. Only in a certain case. Which case? So Gemara says like this, my love, is it not Bo'otan with those Hanishfa'im that swear V'lo Meshalmim, they swear and they don't pay. So who is the case of they swear and they don't pay?
It'd be the debtor swearing that he paid it.
The debtor, the defendant, the one who's the who's the defendant, the whatever you call it, the one who took the loan, who swears that he paid it back. So he's the one who swears and then doesn't have to pay, right?
Right.
So the Gemara, so that's the case, because there are two options. Or we said that's the deraita case. Right, that's the one that the Torah says. So the Gemara says maybe that's the dispute, where it's a case of that deraita loan. Is it not that case that they're arguing about? My love for Otaman Shmain, the law Mishmaim. Gemara says no, law, not that case. Let's just see a minute why we thought it would have been that case. Why does the Gemara suggest that it would have been that case that they were arguing it?
Because if he wasn't able to swear, then he would owe the money, and money would exchange hands.
If he wasn't able to swear, right. Before we get to so the Gemara says why the case is. It says the havelei k'machul lecha, because this is like machul lecha.
And
this case is similar to machul lecha. What's the case? I forgive you. I forgive the debt. So we're saying, it seems to me the Gemara says, maybe we can say that the second case is a case of where the defendant is swearing the loan, because that case is similar to machul lecha. Let's just...
Okay, this is getting confusing.
Yeah, that's why we're going to wind up the board, so we can keep where we are. Okay.
Oh, and we're 24B. 24B?
24B, yes. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. Okay, so let's put our Mishnah. The Mishnah has two laws. Law number one is if you accept, I'm putting bad judges, right, invalid judges, right, Rabbi Meir says you can retract. Chachamim says cannot retract. Right, that's law number one of the Mishnah in simple terms. If you accept bad judges, right, your father, my father, three cattle herders, that's the machloket. Rabbi Meir versus Chachamim. Rule number two of the Mishnah, if you accept a lesser oath, Rabbi Meir can retract. Chachamim says says cannot retract. They're the two laws of our Mishnah. Okay? So, the Gemara is now trying to compare the two. And try and see that the lesser oath means to, instead of swearing on the Torah, to say he swears on his own life. Right? A lesser oath. Like Rabbi Yosef, you can have a good contract. So now the Gemara is trying to see if the logic works for both ways. Works the same logic that we talked about here in a ten lacha and machul lacha also fits here. And then we can understand why Rabbi Meir is saying retract in both, and Hakam is saying not retract. Because they have the same svara. We understand what's going on, what's behind their rulings. So we understand now a little bit more the first one. Right? Because money's transferring over or money's not transferring over. So the Gemara wants to say now, can we say that in case number two, we're dealing with, this is the hypothesis, the Gemara throws up a hypothesis, see if it works. Can we say that we're dealing with, in this case, we are dealing with, what's the scenario? This is a scenario of Nishba'im v'lo mishalmim. Swear and not pay. Swear and not pay. Who is that? That's a defendant. Defendant's oath. This is the case of the defendant's oath. Right? The deriter. Right? The deriter one.
So isn't that similar to the Kennel Ha where the creditor is saying, "I will forgive the loan if the judge, if the just lost my place. I will give. Hold on, a second. I just lost it.
That's Mahulaha. Hold on, we're gonna.
Mahulaha.
Yeah, we're gonna get.
I'm barely seeing it.
Hold on.
I just want to get the terms right.
Because
really confusing.
Okay, we're gonna get to the terms. So the Gemara says now. What scenario is this machloket taking place in? The fact that we had a court case and there was a lesser oath accepted. In that court case, Rabbi Meir and Hachamim disagreed. What is the nature of that court case? Is it all court cases where this arises, that you have a lesser oath? No. The Gemara says it's only the court case where the lesser oath is a defendant's oath. It's not where it's a claimant's oath. It's only in the case of the defendant's oath. That's the scenario. That's the hypothesis that the Gemara is now trying to say that this number two applies to. Rule number two of the Mishnah only applies in this scenario.
So it's the other one because they're actually... He's saying that he swears that he doesn't have to pay. He paid it already. So that means that if he loses the case, he has to pay. So money will be exchanged.
Could be. I haven't got that far yet.
I'm just trying to get to definitions.
That's the hard part. That's who we're talking about. We're talking about the defendant. The defendant who is owed money, who owes money. And the court says, we have no evidence here either way. We're going to ask the defendant to swear that he paid it back. And if he swears that he paid it back, he wins the case. Defendant's owed.
And if he refuses
to swear,
he has to pay.
Then he loses the case.
So it's actually that he actually has to give money.
If he refuses to swear.
Right.
But here we're talking about a case where we accept a lesser form of oath. He doesn't have to swear on the Torah. If a litigant says, you know what, I'm not going to make you swear on the Torah with the name of Hashem. I'm going to accept a lesser oath if you swear by the life of your own head. Can he then swears? Says, fine, I'll take that. And he stands up and he swears by the life of his own head in front of the court. And the other litigant standing there says, I can't believe you just did that. I want a full oath now. I changed my mind. can he change his mind? So now we've got the map pocket.
No, who's changing his mind?
The other litigant. The other litigant allows him to have a lesser oath. Right? The court said, we've got no evidence. I don't know who to go by. We're going to make the defendant swear an oath. Go get the Sefer Torah. And the other litigant says, you know what, don't get the Sefer Torah. We don't need to do all that trouble. Just make him swear on the life of his own head. And if he swears on the life of his own head, I'll accept it. So the other says, fine, here I go. And he swears on the life of his own head. And then the other guy says, you know what, I changed my mind. I don't want him to swear. I don't believe that's not enough for me. I didn't think he was going to do it. He did it.
Now I'm completely confused. Because I thought it was the defendant changing his mind.
No, the defendant is the one who accepts the lesser oath. He just got left off the hook. The court said to the defendant, defendant, if you want to win this case, we're going to make you swear on the Holy Torah.
Right.
And he says, all right, if you make me swear on the Holy Torah, I'm going to swear on the Holy Torah. Fine, go and bring the Torah. And the litigant, the other litigant, the claimant says, you know what? We don't have to do that. I don't want him to bring out the Holy Torah and make him swear with the name of Hashem on the Holy Torah. I'm going to accept that he swears a lesser oath. So he goes ahead and swears a lesser oath. But then the first defendant sees that, the claimant, he sees that he's just sworn, and he thinks, I want the full job, I want the full Monty, I want the full oath on the Torah. Can he retract now his acceptance of the lesser oath?
That's what's confusing me, when you said acceptance.
Yeah, the claimant is the one who's accepting the lesser oath. He's accept because he's accepting a lesser obligation. The court wants to make him swear a higher oath, and he says, no, I accept a lesser oath. Can he retract that acceptance of
But he's not the one making the swearing on it.
Yeah, but it's up to me if I allow you to swear it. I'm allowing you to have that lesser oath, and now I'm changing my mind, I'm not accepting it.
But wasn't he the one that officially that offered the oath?
No, the court demanded.
The court demanded the Torah.
Yes.
And the litigant.
Which is
offered.
No, which is against.
Huh?
Don't say litigant. Which one?
Sorry. The claimant.
Yes.
Claimant said, "Why don't you do a lesser oath?"
Yes, I let him off the hook.
So he's letting.
So I can now change my mind and not let you off the hook. Yeah. See the logic. The logic is that I let you off the hook, and now I'm changing my mind, and I want to go back to the full version.
Okay, so...
No, the Torah only said about one
oath.
Because here is my court case. I don't want to have to let...
No, not about the judge. Why did he give them two different oaths?
No, the judges only have one oath. The judge has the full Torah.
So why?
Why did he let him do a lesser one? Because he's my friend, and I don't want to have to. I don't want him to the halel the Torah by swearing an oath on the Torah that he might not know.
Why you? Why you go with him to the court?
Peter, my friend, he's still a Jew. I don't want him to take out the Holy Torah and swear on it with the name of Hashem, because who knows if he's right. I don't want to make him do that. I'm actually causing him to do a Chilul Hashem.
So why did he then change his mind?
Because he didn't think that he was going to do it. And then he sees that he did it. He swore the lower oath on his own head. And I'm furious. I can't believe he did that. I want the full thing. It's my money.
He thought
he was going to get it off the hook. Why did he say that I want you to swear that? He didn't think he was going to do it.
So he's bluffing?
Maybe. I know. The scenario could be he was bluffing, could be not. Could be a situation he thought he wouldn't do it, and he did it anyway, and then he got angry. Or it could be the case where, even after he did it, he actually realized, I'm going to be out of pocket here. I want you to swear that the money's more important to me. Could be anything.
What's the point of letting him do a lesser oath? You don't want to be in the problem to do it.
Yeah. It's a big problem to take the Holy Torah and swear the name of Hashem on it.
He was doing the same Torah, so you make a lesser oath.
Could be. I don't want you to have to swear on the Torah. Maybe if I have to, if you're gonna swear on you and you're still gonna lie, because I 100% believe that I'm correct and you're lying, If you're still going to lie after that, so fine, I've got no choice now. Let's go back to the Torah, right? Because
does he have to make that tonight to begin with?
No. Well, here, from that pocket, whether he can retract or not. Rabbi Meir says he can retract. And Chachamim say you can't retract. Once you've agreed the oath, then your agreement is a kinyan, it's a binding contract. You agree something.
But it makes so much sense what you're saying, that perhaps after he makes that lesser oath, you see that he's probably lying because there's no sitor around. Now you get angry and you want him to do the bigger oath. The whole point, like you're saying, is to scare him. Hopefully he won't do anything.
He won't do it.
Because he wouldn't be claiming money out of him if he didn't think he owes it.
Right.
So obviously he's lying according to your logic.
Right. And we also said that it could be that we don't know when these events happened, and we also know that ourselves, we're not like 100% sure. I'm sure I didn't pay him back. I'm really sure, fairly sure. Right? So to have to swear that certainty on the basis of on a holy Torah with a Hashem Hashem, no one wants to have to do that. Even if I'm not really sure, I think I'm pretty sure I paid him back. I think. Who knows? I don't know what I was doing last week. I don't know what I had for lunch. I think I paid him back.
Didn't they put in the money they are paying his whole life? Right. Give the life for 100 shekels.
Right, so because many people won't, they wouldn't do that. Right? If I had to swear on a holy Torah that I paid back, I'd say, you know what? I think I paid you back, but I'm not sure. I'm not going to swear it. So tell them I'm going to walk away from the case. Because I'm not going to swear that on a holy Torah. I don't know for sure that I swear to you.
I understand.
But it's a case where there's no other evidence. If we had evidence, we wouldn't be in the case of the oath. Tom, so what happens? So the Gemara says, can we say, this is a hypothesis at the moment, we don't know if this is true. I'm not throwing it up as a possibility. Is this a case of the dependent's oath? And that's where my problem is. Scenario 2, rule number 2 of the Mishnah, is talking about a case of the dependent's oath. Why? Why does the Gemara suggest that? Because if it is this, then it would fit nicely. If it is this, we can say, this is similar to case number 1. Why is it similar? We can say this is like machul l'cha.
And machul l'cha is?
Well, I forgive you. You said, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda said, talk, we're in the world of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, the dispute in the first case is a case of machul l'cha. Right? But attain l'cha, right? Rabbi Yehuda said that the first dispute was a case of machul l'cha.
But why would it be that? Because if he loses it, he'd be having to pay. So he's not forgiving.
That's a good question. Let's see the answer. Hashem's help.
Or am I totally barking up the wrong tree?
I don't know.
Because I'm getting completely...
You might be meowing up the wrong tree.
No, I'm getting a head cold. Ugh.
Meow. But then, so why is it the same? So Gamal said, it looks like the same because in both cases, if the defendant is released from paying, there's no payment. Right? This is also a case where no payment transfers if he makes the oath. Saying this is where he makes the oath. If he doesn't, there's a different issue. If he makes the oath, he's forgiven, he doesn't have to pay. The case of machul l'cha is where he doesn't have to pay if he wins. And here's the case where he doesn't have to pay if he wins. Meaning if he makes the oath, he wins. So it's like machul l'cha.
But in both cases, if he wins, he doesn't have to pay.
Nahon. That's the case of machul l'cha, where the defendant... What's the claim trying to do? The court is trying to absolve, from this perspective, the court is trying to absolve the defendant from paying. And the way it absolves him, in the case of machul l'cha, is if we find in your favor, you don't have to pay.
And on what?
And in the case of the oath, if you made the oath, you don't have to pay.
But on what was it? Maten l'cha? You would
Maten
have
to pay? No. Right.
I'm confused. Yes, he says, isn't the Ten L'cha where he'd have to pay? If he loses, he'd have to pay.
So that's not this oath. This oath is a case of where he wins. It's in his hands. This is, you're right, the opposite. We're not looking at the opposite where he loses. We're looking about the case that we're looking now on him. If he makes the oath, he doesn't have to pay.
And if he doesn't?
We're not talking about if he doesn't. If he doesn't, it's not this scenario. If he doesn't, he doesn't. That's okay. A different case. So you're right, it's the opposite. But we're not in the opposite. We're in the positive. If he makes the oath, he doesn't have to pay. That's the case of Mukhulaka.
So Mahulha is just if the positive, if he wins the case, he doesn't have to. He doesn't. There's no money exchange. But Batan Lahai, there is.
Yes. Yes. Right. Okay. So that's the Gemara's question. The Gemara says maybe we can say it's a defendant's oath, and that's like Mahulha. But the Gemara says no. The Gemara says, no, you could look at it the other way around. Let's say it's not. Let's say it's the other way. Let's say it's not that case. It's a case of swear and pay. And then it equals eten lacha. Right, you could say it the other way. It could be the claimant's oath. Right? It could be the claim, could be the other way. We're not talking about the defendant's oath, the derider one. We're talking about a rabbinic claimant's oath, where the court say, you know what, we're gonna make the claimant. Right? Whatever reason the court decides, we're not into why they decided this way or that way, but the court decides in this case, the claimant, and if he says, I swear that you didn't pay me back, then he wins, and it's a case of a ten laha.
Where money is exchanged.
Where money is exchanged, and then it's getting a ten lacha.
Laser.
Yeah.
So then the defendant said, no, I want to swear me
back. Then that's the case we're talking about. The scenario here, this is the scenario. Maybe this is the scenario that they argue about, where it's a claimant's oath. And in that case, Rabbi Meir says, you could retract. And Hartman is saying, no, you can't.
So you're talking
only
about,
in this case.
You're talking about two different scenarios.
Nahon, we don't know which. The Gemara is proposing which one is it. Because the first one is like a humacha, but the second one is like a tenlacha. So you're right, at this stage, it could be either way.
But you don't know.
So far we don't know.
Okay.
Top. We are now 5 past, so we're going to get the answer tomorrow. Hopefully you'll be able to sleep tonight with that muffin still raising your head. But the answer.
No, we need to cover Rashi too. So we need to cover Rashi.
So there's still a lot more to go, but it's safe to leave it with the question. But at least we have the question pretty clear. So it's a good place to hold off tomorrow for the answer.
Okay.